There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Geek Trippin'.
This week, we are heading to Switzerland to a town called Montreux, which has a population of about 25,000.
I'm from the Valais, which is the next canton. Here it's Canton de Vaud. Sion, it's a very beautiful city, nobody knows. You know, you heard about Zermatt, the Matterhorn?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just between the Matterhorn and here. The Valais, the Rhone River, it's a beautiful place too, but I live here since 20 years now.
That's Fabian. And after 20 years here, she was the perfect person to spend the day with to find out more about Montreux.
The history. Montreux was not so important than Vevey. Have you been to Vevey? Vevey is the next city. And Vevey actually was very important already in the Roman time. There is all around the lake here, that was the passage, obligated passage to go from north to Rome. Vevey was more important in the Middle Age. Then Montreux was also a little bit already renowned because of the Castle Chillon. This is the castle by the lake.
11th century, isn't it?
Exactly. And the Castle Chillon was built by a family called the family of Savoy. They were a huge, very rich family. They had only around the lake here 24 castles. And actually, they had a huge territory, a huge part of Italy also, going down to Torino.
Where are the other 23?
Oh, all around the lake. You have in the part of France, which is France now, and only here, between here to Geneva, there are four castles. But now all the castles belong to the States, to Switzerland or France. There are museums. But actually, this family was called the Porter of the Alps, because they're doing a lot of business, trades. They were trading a lot of things. Anyway, then Montreux actually became very famous, I would say, through literature. Because maybe you heard about Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Jean-Jacques Rousseau is a French, he was born in Geneva, but he wrote a book called La Nouvelle Héloïse, The New Héloïse. And that was it was describing the region of Montreux, the Bay of Montreux. And actually people, when they wrote this book, they wanted to come and visit the place. And then, about 100 years later, Lord Byron from England, he was on his grand tour, European grand tour, and he stopped. He was in Geneva, but he was on the lake, and he stopped. He saw the castle. He stopped by the castle, and actually, the castle was not open to the public in those days, but he met an old man in front of the castle who told him the story of this castle, and especially of the prisoner, François de Bonivard. And he was visiting the underground of the castle, the prison, and he was so much inspired by this story that he wrote his famous poem, The Prisoner of Chillon. And again, that was in 1816. That was a bestseller in those days. So all the people, when they read this book, they wanted to come. So they had to open the first hotels.
So why are we gig tripping to this part of Switzerland? Well, normally a quiet town, Montreux really busies up for 2 weeks every year when the Jazz Festival brings 200 visitors to town. To line up your time in Montreux with the Jazz Festival, you'll need to be there in early July, when tons of musical acts, not just jazz actually, all roll into town. There's street food all up and down the main lakeside promenade, fantastic weather, and I love this. You can grab some food if you like from the local co-op, and take advantage of the open container laws. You can have a lakeside picnic while buskers entertain you with some fabulous music before the main events at nighttime. Now, I wasn't there in July. I was there in December, but I was there for a very different kind of gig.
The different levels of English within Europe. Europe's quite a small place geographically compared to the US, Canada, Australia, countries like that. But the levels of English within Europe are so different, right? The Northern European countries, their level of English is incredible. They have almost no accent, but they're very humble. They're too humble. Because they don't tell you straight away that they speak perfect English. And this is really annoying for English people because we don't know it to start with. And I found this out when I went to Sweden. My first time, I was looking for a bank machine somewhere. I stopped a Swedish guy in the street and I said, "Hello, do you by any chance speak English?" And the guy said, "Oh yes, but just a little bit." So in my mind, a little bit means that I need to slow down my speech and exaggerate all of the hand movements so he understands everything I'm saying. So I said to him, okay, I'm looking for the nearest bank. Can you tell me where the nearest bank is, please? Cash machine, you know, ATM, credit card. Can you tell me where the nearest bank is, please? And the guy just went, yeah, mate, basically it's down the street over there. You take a right, you take a left, there's an intersection there. There's an edifice on the corner. The edifice is the bank. A little bit of English. This guy speaks better English than I do. Because I didn't know the word edifice existed in English. I had to look it up. I looked it up online. It exists in English! This guy's teaching me English. Well, just a little bit. The south of Europe, it's the complete opposite problem. The level of English in the south of Europe is generally terrible, but everyone's bilingual, apparently.
I was there for a little bit of comedy. Now, that's comedian Paul Taylor, who was the host of Montreux Comedy this year. Just 2 days of comedy in French and then an English-speaking gala night with comedians from all around the world. From Canada, Italy, South Africa, there was a guy from India, South Korea, Iceland, and even Ali Al-Sayed, who is from here in Dubai, all performing in English, which for some of them, not all, but some, was their second language, which I find incredible. The best thing about gig tripping this week, though, I think, is that if you don't go to it, it will come to you, because Montreux Comedy is going to be at the Madinat at Jumeirah early next year. There's going to be stand-up in French, Arabic, and English when it comes our way. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting to the founder of Montreux Comedy, who started this festival more than 25 years ago. We're also going to introduce you to some of the comedians, and I've got a couple of great before the dinner gig suggestions too.
Gig tripping.
We're in Montreux, Switzerland this week, which is an hour's drive, or train trip, which is a simple way to do it actually, from Geneva. One Swiss franc will cost you 3 dirhams and 70 fils. And doing the bro maths on that, dinner in a lovely place, a nice restaurant before or after the gig, will cost you around 100 francs. So that's 370 dirhams. Not too different from Dubai prices, if I'm honest. And I did find somewhere wonderful to go for dinner.
It's a restaurant, but before to become a restaurant, it was the theatre. In this room, in this part, was the theatre of Montreux.
How long ago?
Curtains, it's long time ago. This part over there was a flat.
So how long has it been a restaurant?
60, 70 years.
This is the Caveau de Virons, and it's in the old town of Montreux. So you kind of get away from where the boulevard is and the Christmas market and all of the hotels, and you walk up into town. It's uphill. It's quite a struggle across the train tracks. But when you get there, it's so worth it because all of the buildings, really old and narrow streets, and they all lean in towards each other. It's just what you'd expect from an old Swiss village, I guess. And this little restaurant, I'd found it online, and people had said, you've got to head there for the best raclette and fondue. And that was my main plan, whilst in Switzerland, to eat as much melted cheese as possible.
Raclette, it's uncooked cheese, and it comes on your table like this. Usually we are making it with a big pieces of cheese, and we are doing the movement in front of you. Cheese fondue is two cheeses mixed all together, Vacherin and Gruyère, come with bread on the side.
And when you mix the cheese together, do you have to use flour and wine, or do you just mix the cheese?
No. We need to add white wine. It's for the tourists. You know, you've got people like from Dubai, they want to try. The thing is, for the cheese fondue, we can do it with apple juice.
Instead of the wine. Yeah.
Hello, for me, I'm not drinking any wine, so I like with apple juice. But it's very sweet, you know, very different taste.
I think it's awesome that they're doing that with the fondue, taking the alcohol out, making it more accessible to everyone. If you don't drink alcohol, then you can still enjoy fondue in Switzerland. I think that's brilliant. What I would say, however, is why can't we be that flexible on the breakfast, guys? Because I always like to throw in a good breakfast spot when we travel for gig tripping. And I'm finding it impossible to do that in Montreux. I walked up and down the length of the boulevard, including my hotel, this is, and I couldn't find one good breakfast. And when I say good breakfast, I'm looking for scrambled eggs, poached eggs, omelette, smashed avocado. I know how much of a spoiled little hipster that makes me sound as well, but that's just what I like to eat for breakfast. And I'm also aware that we're in Switzerland. However, they are changing and bending rules for tourists, as we've just seen with the fondue. And I don't know why we can't just have a little bit of egg in the morning on some toast. The choices were meats, I'm vegetarian, cheeses, which I've had for dinner the night before in the fondue and the raclette, or pastries. If you could do something with a breakfast, that would be wonderful, but that is why I would probably look to get an Airbnb last time, because I do love a good breakfast, and I think it'd be a good thing to be able to wake up in this beautiful town, make your own breakfast, and then enjoy going out for dinner of a night time. But back to the gigs, and the reason that we're taking you to Switzerland this afternoon. First of all, you've got the summer, when it's all about jazz. The Montreux Jazz Festival next year is going to be held 29th of June until the 14th of July. For big acts, you will need to buy tickets. However, what the locals do is they'll take their own drinks and a picnic and some blankets, and they'll go and sit on a little grassy hill in front of the main outdoor stage and enjoy the music for free. A little bit naughty, I guess, but why not, if it's good enough for the locals? You can buy an all-music pass if you'd like to see a lot of acts and if you're there for the full time of the festival. That will cost you 1,600 Swiss francs, which works out at about 6,000 dirhams. If you want to go for individual shows, tickets range from 60 to 240 Swiss francs, which is 220 to 880 dirhams, so it's not a cheap trip. But that's the jazz. When it's warm, when it's sunny, when you can swim in the lake, it'll be awesome. A good time to not swim in the lake is December. However, it is still a good time to go to Montreux because it's got comedy and it's got Christmas markets. Montreux Noël, aka the huge Christmas market that runs right along the boulevard. It's got around 160 wooden chalets selling things like wooden toys, it's roasted chestnuts, there's mulled wine, Christmas music. There was snow whilst I was there, which was pretty awesome. It is pretty much Christmas from the films. Now, I don't know about you, but I can only ever do about an hour at a Christmas market. No matter how thick my socks are, about an hour in, I feel like my toes are going to drop off. So for indoor, warm fun, Montreux comedy also happens in December in this little Swiss town. And a lot of people come in for this. Not as many as the jazz festival, but it's growing and growing every single year. Started off really small. Gregoire is the man behind it. He's the founder. All those years ago, about 28 years ago, he started this festival. And I sat down with him after the English Gala night, and he told me where it all began.
Well, it was a vision. I was 21st, so I was quite young, still studying. And I had a vision that comedy is going to be a huge trend in the future, and that comedy could become like rock and roll, something that will talk to everybody. So I decided to start the festival in Montreux, because Montreux is my city, and Montreux already got a DNA for festival, and very, very small at that time.
Why did you do it?
It was in a small venue in Montreux, very small one, so it was something that grew up organically. So we opened the festival exactly when America first bombed Iraq in 1990. So everybody was scared about the reaction, and everybody was saying, you have to cancel every show in Switzerland because it's going to be too dangerous. And I say, well, if I cancel the show now, I'm going to be broke and going to be bankrupt, so I can't afford. So I say, let's do the festival and see what happens. So it was really, it was really strange time. Very surprised, how can this young guy can make a festival full in a week in Montreux and in January? Very low season in Switzerland, and it's in Montreux. And yeah, it was successful. So I met a lot of people during the festival. They told me, some artists told me about other initiatives like that in south of France, for example, or in Quebec, Montreal. So I went and see this festival. They were competitors at that time, and I said, well, there's definitely, my vision's right, there's definitely a room for comedy. Comedy is international, because I flew to Montreal, for example, and I could understand everything. I couldn't laugh with the local comedians there, so I say, okay, now I'm laughing with them, so I'm going to bring them to Montreux, and I will go on and try to find people that are funny around the world and bring all them to Montreux.
But how do you choose comedians that you know will travel well?
I could see local artists. There was always something that I could understand. So not 100%, but probably 20, 30, 50%, sometimes more. And the people were focusing on what make people different. And I was focusing on what is common to people. And I was always saying to people, we say, oh, why can you can bring a guy from Quebec to Switzerland? Nobody will understand. And I say, nobody will understand 100%, but a lot of people, and probably the majority of people, will understand a part of that. So I just took the part that was international, and it works. And nowadays, the thing is completely different. So because people are traveling so much, you have people, French people growing up in Dubai, or people from Dubai that are studying in Switzerland. So and there's a lot of people, even in Montreux, in Switzerland, coming from Middle East, studying here. And so there's a community of people that are very international. They are very keen to comedy. And I think nowadays, the market is completely changed.
That's Gregoire, who is the founder of Montreal Comedy, which is coming to Dubai next year. I went to Switzerland for it. And when we come back, we'll chat to some of the comedians, but we'll also tell you how much it cost to do this trip, whether you want to go and see the jazz or you want to go and see the comedy, depending on what time of year and what type of weather you want.
Gig tripping.
We're in Montreal, Switzerland, this week, and we're giving you the choice of gigs. You can either go in the summer, you can swim in the lake, have a picnic on the grass, watch world-class jazz musicians play live for you, or you could wrap up warm, walk through Christmas markets, cracking open roasted chestnuts, before heading indoors for an international comedy festival. That's what I did. You can do both, you just got to decide which time of year you want to go. And we just chatted to Gregoire, who is the founder of Montreal Comedy. He's bringing the festival to Madinat Theatre early next year. But whilst I was in Switzerland, I also managed to catch up with some of the comedians who might be on his wish list.
I describe myself as the guy that looks more poor than he is.
That is Skulk Bazoudenau. He is an African stand-up comedian, known for his distinctive choice of jumpers, actually. Born in Johannesburg in South Africa, and despite being just 23 years old, has opened for the likes of Trevor Noah twice.
We did a comedy festival together, and it was a bit tricky because he was second on the lineup. He was in the first half. He had a broken foot at the time. I think he, if I remember correctly, hurt it playing soccer with his friends, and he had a moon boot, and he couldn't stand up for long because the blood would rush to his foot, which was painful. So normally after his set, he'd leave. Obviously very intimidating for like a young comedian, Trevor Noah, being like as famous as he is. And I was like, how am I going to approach this situation, like to ask him to watch my set, to stay just for one night, to stay for the whole show and watch my set out of the 2 weeks? And then one night, I was just like, whatever. The worst that can happen is he can say no. And one night I just said, Trevor, please just stay for one show and watch. I really want you to see my set. And he was like, yeah, sure. And then after that, he invited me to come on a tour with him, which is a lineup of a bunch of comedians. And then from that tour, he asked me to open for him a few times.
That's so
really
cool,
fantastic,
man.
Yeah.
This is the second international stand-up gig for Skulk. He'd done London, and now he was in Montreux. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he's coming to Montreux Comedy in Dubai next year. But he told me that he doesn't feel like you necessarily have to change too much in your set for it to travel well.
Like I'm often guilty of it, of underestimating audience members and thinking they're dumber than they are. You know, most of my jokes when I was doing my one-man show in London, I could just add one line just to build some context. Normally it's a comparison going, I grew up in Kempton Park in South Africa, and British people, Kempton Park is like your zone 6. And then immediately people are like, okay, we know what the vibe is of where you grew up.
Yeah.
So it's just about like finding equivalents in that country and going, okay, so for you guys, you don't have to throw away as much as you think you need to throw away when performing internationally. And people enjoy hearing about your things and your stuff.
Yeah, they're learning about, I guess.
Yeah, they like learning about, I would say, you know, which is a thing I learned really from Trevor and guys like Lois Ogola that are performing overseas a lot. And, you know, they come back to South Africa and say, people want to hear our story. So don't just go overseas and do sort of your run-of-the-mill observations about things that everyone, you know, traffic or crossing the road. And people are like, yeah, that's cool, but we hear that. Like, what's it like where you are?
Mm.
Well, what's your story?
Also performing at Montreux Comedy at the English Gala this year, an Italian comedian called Francesco De Carlo. He's a political comedian. He's also a radio host, television writer. He's from Rome, now living in London. He was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and he's got a stack of awards on his mantelpiece. Very, very funny bloke. Eddie Izzard has been quoted as saying, "If I was an Italian comedian performing in English, I would want to be as funny as Francesco De Carlo," which is cool, isn't it? And he told me that comedy clubs are the key when it comes to building a local comedy scene, which is what we want here in Dubai. And he should know because he's been instrumental in building Italy's.
When people ask me, what is the difference between the Italian comedy and the British comedy? It's not about the humor. It's not only about the humor. The main problem is that we don't have comedy clubs. I started performing in the restaurants. And the problem in Italy is that we have the best food in the world. So, as you know, it's very hard to be more interesting than carbonara, you know. And so it's you have to low down your level because people are distracted. They are not listening to you. So you have to talk to about topics that they can relate to. And so you have to talk about how bad are the mothers-in-law and how terrible is the traffic jam when you're coming back from your office and all these, you know, cliches. And how the difference is between people from the north of Italy and the south of Italy. And the people, it's talking about something that I can relate to. And otherwise, it's very hard. And so when you try to start to do something more personal, or more deep and more original than other comedians, they don't care. They just don't care. They prefer to eat carbonara. Because, and I understand them, because carbonara is one of my favorite things in life. So it's very hard. In Dubai, I don't know if the carbonara is good.
It's okay.
It's okay. And so this is a good point.
So if we are going to have really funny people who were either born in the UAE, just grew up here as expats, going out, being funny, doing stand-up and representing all around the world, then we're going to need some comedy clubs. So I hope someone is listening to that very good advice from Francesco De Carlo. He does know what he's talking about. What else is there to do whilst you're in Montreal, whether it be the summer or the winter? There's one thing that I think you should definitely put on your list, and it's not like me because it is a typical tourist attraction, but it's definitely worth ticking off.
Lord Byron from England, he was on his Grand Tour, European Grand Tour, and he stopped. He was in Geneva, but he was on the lake, and he stopped. He saw the castle. He stopped by the castle, and actually the castle was not open to the public in those days, but he met an old man in front of the castle who told him the story of this castle and especially of the prisoner, François de Bonivard. And he was visiting the underground of the castle, the prison, and he was so much inspired by this story that he wrote his famous poem, The Prisoner of Chillon.
Chillon Castle. It's incredible, guys. It's 11th century. It's on its own island. Kind of went along there thinking, nah, just be like a touristy kind of castle. Now, in the summer, there's 2,000 people visit every single day. In the winter, 1st of December, when I was there, there were 5 other people at 10 a.m., which was opening time. So it's definitely worth doing off-season, this one. And I stood outside. The sun was shining. There's like a little pier that goes out into the lake, which is crystal clear. You can see right to the bottom. And you could take a whole day looking around this place. I cannot emphasize how good this is as a tourist attraction. It's called Chillon Castle. And wherever you stay in Montreal, if you stay in a hotel, they will give you a Riviera card, which is brilliant. Because this card means you can jump on any bus or any train locally, and it's free. It's on the card. It's absolutely great. They should definitely do it in Dubai. So it's about 3 kilometres south of town. You drive right along by the lake. So it's a fantastic little drive as well. Yep, cannot recommend it enough. And no, Mark, I did not get you a fridge magnet. Okay, let's talk money. When it comes to getting to Montreal, whether it's for the jazz festival in the summer or whether you want to go for Montreal comedy in the winter next year. I stayed at the Grand Hotel Suisse Majestic. Now, this is a really good spot. It's directly in front of the train station. Come out of the train station, you're straight in the hotel, and the other side of the hotel is the lake. And I had a room that had a view right across it. Christmas market right below. It's perfect. Really well situated for getting around. To stay in the Grand Hotel Suisse Majestic, it will cost you 813 dirhams a night right now, according to booking.com. If you are interested in Airbnb, I think I would look to do that next time, purely based on want to cook my own breakfast. Then you can get a Lakeview apartment with 2 bedrooms, amazing view, and a balcony with chairs out there so you can chill and enjoy the view of the lake. You can do that from about 700 dirhams a night on Airbnb. Flights-wise, Emirates fly direct to Geneva, and then you would need to transfer by train to Montreal, which takes about an hour. An Emirates flight from Dubai to Geneva direct, sitting in economy, cost me about 3,000 dirhams in December. You're looking at just over that if you want to go in the summer when the jazz festival is on, if you book it now, looking at that today. However, I did take my husband with me, and I couldn't work out, because of work times, getting him on the same flight as me. And he went with Ukrainian Air, which has got no onboard entertainment whatsoever. It's like, take your iPod or sit in silence. And he flew for under 2,000 dirhams. There are cheaper ways doing it. Realistically, I think you could take this trip to Montreux, whether it be in the summer or in the winter, and enjoy 4 nights there for around 6,500 dirhams, which is not bad if you think you could get some world-class jazz for free if you're on your picnic blanket sitting out in the sun in the summer, or you can go to one of the best Christmas markets in the world in the winter and enjoy some stand-up comedy. I don't think it's too bad at all. That's Montreux in Switzerland for you.
Gig tripping.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.